Who collects these things for the Baron?
Trying to get us Sekhmen to do it, but I'm opposed to it. Don't mind patrolling around the Ville and listening for word of strange new muties. But we pay Jack, good Jack, for outsiders to bring them in here. They get money and they take the risks. Way it goes.
A high price, I assume.
Right there, Ms. Wyeth. I believe those flat-tailed little boogers in that tank there took the lives of 8 men before they were installed safely in here. One of the Baron's very special favorites. Stands and watches them, he does, hour by hour.
Ryan was beginning to feel dizzy, the warm, moist, stinking air wrapping itself around him like a noisome shroud.
Looky here.
Joaquin demonstrated a monstrously bloated spider, covered in a sickly yellow fur. Larger than the biggest dinner plate, it lay still on a bed of white sand. The Sekhmen took hold of a bright crimson finch and broke its wings. Then Joaquin dropped it in, and it fluttered helplessly to the floor of the tank, aware of the lethal menace of the spider.
Are you sure it's alive? Seems to me like fire blast.
From some hidden orifice below its belly, the creature sent out a tiny thread of sticky silk, trapping the bird, spinning it at dazzling speed, binding it into a cocoon until only the bird's straining head was uncovered. Only then did the spider deign to move itself toward its prey. Its long legs articulated like crooked fingers, lifting it from the sand and carrying it slowly across the tank.
I don't think I want to see any more of this. I'll go outside and check how Emma is. Catch the rest of you later.
The spider lowered itself, its huge eyes fixed on the struggling little bird. Bringing the serrated pincers nearer, it neatly nipped the beaked head off, a tiny spray of blood dappling its prickling fur.
Think I'll join Mildred and the others. There's a limit to what I can watch. See you later, friends.
Ryan would have given it up and followed her, but Dean was still fascinated, running from cage to tank.
Dad, come here!
Ryan swallowed hard, tasting the bitterness of bile at the back of his throat. And he followed Joaquin and the boy, JB and Doc trailing behind. Amid all of that demonic collection, Ryan only noticed some of the more gross exhibits, the rest passing in a haze of horror and disgust. There were 3-headed sheep and 10-legged pigs, a furless bear endlessly pacing up and down a tiny cramped enclosure, banging its head against the wall, leaving a trail of blood wherever it stepped. A vulture, raw-necked and crimson-eyed, with leathery scales instead of feathers. A flock of tiny, cheeping jays, with vicious hooked claws lining the four edges of their wings. A boar, with the longest tusks that Ryan had ever seen. Curved and needle-tipped, they were so heavy that the poor beast could hardly lift its head from the urine-sodden straw. Many of the meaty creatures in Sharp Zoo were in surprisingly poor condition. Many of them galled and covered in scaly sores and raw ulcers.
Why doesn't the Baron bother to have them cared for?
You fancy going in to clean them out? Of course you wouldn't. Sharpie uses prisoners now and again for it. Offers them life if they look after the collection. Trouble is, no matter how much care they take, the odds are stacked against them. On average, they don't survive more than 2 or 3 days. Just look in that next cage, for instance.
The next cage was better than 20 feet across, half filled with more of the fine white sand, its surface smooth and undisturbed. A few broken branches lay jumbled in the corner, but there was no sign of anything living. Dean kept a healthy distance from the thick glass front.
What is it?
Watch. I'll put in a couple of fine big rabbits.
Joaquin vanished around the back, and they saw a white painted hatch slide open at the rear of the cage. Joaquin's hand appeared, holding a couple of black and white rabbits by their floppy ears. He dropped them in. Both the animals seemed paralyzed with terror, their fur twitching. The sergeant came back to join the others and looked in. Seeing that the rabbits hadn't moved at all, huddled together for comfort, they watched the shining sand.
Speed things up a little.
Dark night.
The surface of the sand rippled briefly, a funnel seemed to open below the rabbits, and they totally disappeared. There was another faint disturbance of the sand, and then all was completely still. Ryan realized that his mouth was hanging open, and he closed it slowly. Dean had taken a couple of steps back, his hands going up in front of himself as if he feared for his life.
What the fuck was that?
Truth is, we don't know what it is. Wizened old guy arrived with it in a steel barrel about a year ago. Told us how to build the cage and fill it with sand. Went in himself and opened up the barrel. Fed it some rabbits and Sharpie fell in love with it. It's one of his favorites. Calls it Rupert. No idea why. Man took his jack and we never saw or heard of him again. Claimed he brought it all the way from Mexico, but we don't know.
I think we've seen enough. Thanks, Joaquin. Come on, Dean.
Aw, Dad, there's more!
More of the same, son.
Joaquin didn't seem all that anxious to continue with his guided tour of the collection. The light in the long, narrow building was dim, but it looked to Ryan that the Sekhmet's face was noticeably paler than it had been.
I would cast my vote for departing from this seventh circle of the Inferno, and I would further propose that we do not hasten back here again, not ever. May the Lord have mercy on the souls of these poor benighted creatures, cast into eternal darkness by the madness and ambition of mankind.
Hear, hear, Doc.
They were standing next to a narrow glass tank that held dozens of small fish that seemed to be all jagged teeth and mouth. Ryan recognized them as being voracious piranhas.
We'll go then.
Wait a minute.
What is it, Carter?
Is this the whole of the collection?
What do you mean?
It's a simple question. This building, what we've seen here, is this all there is?
Sure.
What's through that other exit down at the far end? Double locked sectors.
Mind your pissant business, Outlander.
More of the collection?
The Sekhman shook his head, his hand dropping to the butt of an indeterminate revolver on his hip.
Nothing for you to see.
Ryan decided not to push it.
All right, stay cool, Joaquin.
Like the other side of the pillow.
The air outside the thick-walled building tasted like the finest nectar. JB was having trouble trying to clear his mouth and throat from the vile taste and smell. Doc waved his hand in front of his face.
If only one could obtain such a thing as a pomander, scented with fresh cloves. But one cannot.
Ryan looked up at the sky, seeing that heavy clouds were again hanging over the vill, carried on a gentle northerly wind. Though it was still only the mid part of the afternoon, the light was dismal and fading fast.
I could do with a drink to wash that filth out of my mouth.
Water in your rooms.
Joaquin locked and bolted the doors.
Supper's at 6. You got Krons? Yeah, I saw them. Don't be late. Baron doesn't care for late.
Dean was the only one who didn't seem to have been at all affected by the horrors that dwelled within the Baron Zoo, and he kept up a ceaseless flow of chatter all the way back into the main house.
That lizard with about a dozen tails, Dad. How about that? Not as good as the beavers, though. The way all those sets of teeth came sliding out like on gear wheels. That thing in the sand that chilled those rabbits? What about that, Dad, huh?
Ryan was locked away into his own thoughts. His uneasy concern about the collection was made stronger by the Sekhman's refusal to allow them to see the rear part of the big building. He wondered whether it would be worth the risk to try to get into it that night, or should they just get away from the vill at the first opportunity? He couldn't decide. Christy was waiting for them in the corridor and looking anxiously to see if any of the Sekhmen had kept them company.
Trouble lover.
Where?
She led them all into the end room of the corridor, which had been given to Jack, Doc, and Dean. Emma lay on the bed as waxen as a corpse, her eyes closed tight. She was barefoot, her dress spread out over her legs. Jack sat on the bed at her side, holding her right hand in his left.
It's bad, Ryan.
What happened, Jack? She fainted?
Mildred had been bathing the young woman's forehead with water from the flowered china washbowl.
Not a faint. She's been babbling nonsensically. It could have been going close to that disgusting building and those freaks inside it.
She's a sensitive.
Christy carefully closed the door behind them, having checked that the passage was still deserted.
Easy to lose balance.
Oh.
The waxwing has been slain, brethren.
Fever?
No, John. Her pulse is slow, around 40. Temperature feels a tad low, if anything.
Emma's eyes flicked open, the golden light seeming to illuminate the whole room with their intensity. For a moment they weren't focused, then they sought out Ryan, settling on his face. Emma sat up, without any help from Jack.
You feeling better?
She ignored Ryan. Though her eyes drilled into him, he had the uncomfortable feeling that the dark